This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Today, this morning, I'll be talking about raising raising godly children, and I'll do that so that certain things can get off my chest. Yesterday during the Blissful Home Fellowship, somebody asked a question. The question was simple. She said that her husband complained to her that they were not as close as they were before. The husband desired that he and his wife would draw closer and be more intimate, which is a very good thing. Usually it is the ladies that will say that the husband is pulling apart, or that the husband is not paying attention, or is not giving them the kind of emotional support or feelings that they desire in a relationship. But this time around, it is the other way around. The wife is pulling away from the husband emotionally. The husband noticed it, and the husband said, "Oh, I don't understand. Why are you pulling away from me emotionally? Why the distance between us?" And the response of the wife was that the husband is bullying the children. And because he's bullying their children, she then is pulling away from the marriage emotionally. Now, believe me, if she used the word abusing the children, maybe physical abuse or things like that, I can like try and find out, okay, this is a personal issue. Let me talk to the husband. Let's see what we can do. But I have seen this thing play out in several ways. I've been a minister of the gospel now since 2004. Before then, I grew up in church. There is no aspect of church reality that is close to me that I do not know. I know all the pretenses, all the bad parents whose children are rotten, but are quick to point fingers at other people's children. I know all the people that pop up their children for appearances in church, even though they know in their heart of heart that their children are rotten. I know deaconesses' children, deacons' children, pastors' children who are stealing, who are having abortions every other month. And yet, on Sunday, they will be the first to sit in the front row to hold the microphone and be singing. And all they were doing was just playing to the gallery. I could see of myself that while growing up in church, I was a very terrible child. It's true. And this is to no fault of my parents. My parents were quite stern. My father was a very strong disciplinarian. And my mom does not give you to. There are some children that are just difficult. I admit I was one of such. I was just a very difficult child. And how I turned out this way, sincerely before God, is by divine intervention. There is nothing anybody could have done that anybody could say, "Oh, I trained him." Nobody could have said that. I was a notorious child, a very bad child. I was so bad that after I became born again, my number one prayer request to God was that none of my children should take after me. No. Imagine you praying and that would be with tears in your face. You say, "Lord, please, don't let any of my children take after me," because I knew that I troubled my parents. So beyond Z, I knew I was terrible. At a point, they put me in the boarding school. At a point, they didn't know what to do with me. I would just leave home for long stretches. as a teenager, not as an, I started leaving home as a teenager at 13. Started leaving the house. I'll just leave. I went to the way I was going. I just leave. And whenever I get tired of wherever I was, I'll come back home. And then I will leave again. And when I'm at home, I'm always troublesome. So if anybody's going to tell you about children that will give their parents headache, I think I more than qualify. And so as a mother, I know the pain of getting pregnant and having children. By the grace of God, God made me a father at the age of 31 for the first time. So I know the pain of, I know what it takes for a woman to carry a baby, to deliver a baby. I also first time know the foolishness of a mother who, because of that emotional bond to that child, will ruin the child's life out of emotional nonsense. Somebody needed to say it, so let me say it. There are some women that the quota of emotion you have is too much and does not make you have sense. And somebody has to say it. You cannot process everything through emotion. Years ago, I was at the place where they wanted to give children immunization. This is the immunization they're supposed to give a child immediately after childbirth. Immediately after childbirth. They said it's so important because the child could get infections and all that and the child could die. And this was something you research, you check it because you just had the baby. So you want to check everything. You want to be sure that your baby is getting the right stuff and all that. And I am a present father. I do not delegate the care of my children to anybody. I will be there in the hospital. I will be there in the children's school. I will be the one. Sometimes I'm the only male parent available when they are doing sporting, when they are doing open day. I'll be the only male that will be there. They made me chairman of my children's school so many times because I'll be the only present father at all their meetings. I never miss the children's meetings. So I'm that kind of a person from the get-go. Nobody taught me that. I just wanted to be involved in how my children were raised. And I saw this woman wanted to give her baby immunization. And she held the hand of the doctor. Went violent when she saw the injection that they wanted to give her baby. She was weeping as if she was going to die. And they were holding her. And the baby on her leg fell off. And somebody was quick to grab that baby before the baby would hit the ground. She did not mind that her baby could die. She didn't mind that her baby could die. Not because of one tiny injection. It was as if somebody just went berserk. This thing is good for your baby. Yes, you carried the baby for 9 months. Yes, you have the baby. But the deal breaker for you is for your baby to get immunization. That is foolishness. Can't sugarcoat it. That's the definition, classic definition of foolishness right there. Then the child begins to grow, and whatever the child wants, you give the child. But nobody can discipline this child. No, no, no. Because you carry the baby. You will weep. The days that fear will beat a drum and you will dance is ahead. You are going to dance. You are going to walk that walk of shame. You will hang your head. You will cry. If as a mother, that is how you raise your children, you are a bad mother. You're also a very bad wife. And somebody needed to say this clearly. And if I'm going to be the guy, bad guy, I don't mind at all. Because at the end of the day, I have cases that I'm dealing with right this minute. That is as a result of that. have a case from one of the Baptist churches in Lagos Island. This boy has sold almost everything the father owned simply because the mother indulged him so much that the child is practically useless now. He's 32 years old. Everything he does is drug. And why? Because the father had money when he was young. The mother and the father would travel and the mother would just leave him. Oh, my only boy. My only boy. The girls are doing well. This boy will steal the girls' money. All the girls moved out of the house for him. Now the mother called me and said, hey, can the boy come and be living with me? Come and live in my own house. So that you come and sell everything that God has given me. You think me, I will accept that? Said, Abinga, I know God will give it to you. God will help you. You are anointed. Come and please let this boy be living with you. I said, Timibo, please. You are the one that indulged him, that ruined his life. Let him finish you. I'll be sending prayer from here. I know how to. The Bible says it's my word, not like hammer. He sent his word and he led them and delivered them from. I will send word. I will send word to you. You, as the mother, continue to bubble up him until you open your eyes to see what you have raised. I have another case. 35-year-old boy. Mother had 3 girls, 1 boy. The boy was 35, a graduate of marketing, could not hold down a job. I was asking, why is his life like this? Because all he does is, there's a new drug, I think it's, I've forgotten the name, that they use syringe to take, but it's not heroin. Maybe LSD, angel dust, all those nonsense. That's what it takes. So the mother brought the case to me, tended to the case. And then I said, I wanted to see the father. And when the father came, I said, what were you looking at? How did your son turn out like this? He said, the mother did not allow me to discipline him. The mother did not, I would rather walk away from a marriage where I cannot discipline my own child. Because the child does not bear the name of the mother. It is the name of the father the child bears. No matter how much emotion you put into it, if that child turned out badly, when they will list the name in the newspaper, they will not put your surname. It is the father's name that will be there. God forbid that the day will come that they will print the name of criminals in the newspaper and you will see the name of your own child among the criminals. God forbid. Let parents raise children properly. If your husband is excessive, talk to him. Talk to him. Not with emotion and crying. Say, this is excessive. Can we? But to say that because of that you are going to dismiss your marriage, you are not a very wise person. You are not to be ruled over by your emotion. You have to think about it. How do I want this student to turn out? It's a long haul, a long journey. Indulging a child is not a proper way of raising children. While I do not flog children, that does not mean I didn't flog at one time or the other. I stopped at a point. I realized that, okay, it is counterproductive. When I was young, they were flogging me. They didn't change anything. And they flogged me a lot. The more they flogged me, the more I was just starting to be bad. So I said, no, this will not work for my children. Maybe it's the flogging. So I didn't flog children. I like to talk to them. I'll take them out. I spend time with them. I make sure that I give them the right orientation. I'm not a distant father. So I noticed that my father was a bit distant. He likes to do other things. And so we see, even though we live in the same house, we see only at night when they come. I'm not that kind of a father. So I decided to be involved in the way the children are raised, in their decision making, in their academics, in what they watch. All of us will play cartoon together. We play this game. PS4, we'll play together. I spent time. We will swim together. We'll do things together. It was deliberate on my own part so that I do not have to be shouting. If they have a role model that they can see living his life in a certain way, they will also naturally tend towards that role model. It's one thing to be telling the children how to behave. It's another thing to be there for them to watch you and copy how you behave and then begin to behave like that. I filled my children with the Holy Ghost 5 years ago. My children speak in tongues. I didn't joke with it. I was deliberate about how I wanted to raise them. But this doesn't mean that I didn't flog them at one point. I did. When they overstep, or when I saw a habit that I felt, no, I do not want this kind of habit, I crushed it one time and the habit never returned. But as a wife, your oath, your vow, is not to your children. That is where I'm going. Your vow is to your marriage, to your husband. The day you decided to do marriage, either you did it in church or you did it at any other place, you were joined together to your husband till death do us part. To your husband, not to your children. Any mother that transfers the affection that is meant for her husband to her children is going to dance that dance of shame. You see, children are one of the most blessed parasites in this world. What do I call them? They will feed off you very well. They will take everything they can take, and then they will leave. It is the truth. If you do not see it, you will see it. When you get older and you are no longer as strong as you are, and you are supposed to lean into your husband and enjoy the bliss of having raised a good family, if you had broken every communication between you and your husband because of your children wouldn't look back. They would leave. They would leave the nest. They would marry. They will have children. They will move on. That is the plain truth. And then when they are gone, you then have to start dealing with 20 to 30 years of hurts that the two of you, you and your husband, has inflicted upon each other because of children that had left, that had gone to be married, or that had gone abroad to study, because they will leave. From the age of 16, 17, they will leave. They will go to the university. That's the beginning of their individual journeys. Once they left, when I left them for the uni, I came home only 3 times. From the moment I went to the university like this, I was back home 2005 break, 2006 break, 2007 break. 2008, I graduated and I never went back home. I didn't even tell them that I just left from my school to Lagos, and that till now, never went back to that house. Never saw that house in Ibadan again. I mean it. That was the end of it. That's it. They're gone. Come, children will leave. It will be you and your husband and the vow you took. And if you have distanced yourself from him now because of children, and then your husband, if he's a very disciplined man, glory to God, he could wait and bear it. But if at a point in the next 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20, 15 years, he saw that the distance just keeps getting wider and wider, another woman will enter into your story. It is how it has always been. It's either she will be official or unofficial, but it will find succor elsewhere. You see, you would, if you table the events of life as you ought to, you will see how much of a thin line marriage is, a tightrope marriage is. It is supposed to give emotional support. It is supposed to give a dignity that comes with being a family person. It's supposed to help you raise children for the coming generation. It's supposed to help you raise a godly home and prepare the world for its future. Your children are the future of the world until Jesus comes. You have a lot of beauty, but the one that you owe yourself is the intimacy between you and your husband. Once you tune off, you know, a lot of women will say, I just tuned off. Once you tune off, you are going to sign up for a life of loneliness afterwards. I know a lot of couples that are living together in the same house, and yet they could as well be as far from each other as Australia is from Canada. even though they live in the same house. So many years of hurting between has damaged their marriage. Does this make the children feel better? No. That's why they will tell us when we are doing marriage counseling that both parents should have one mouth when it comes to disciplining the children. They will say, make sure your voices, you are united. Don't let any of the children see that you are playing daddy against mommy, or you are playing mommy against daddy, or mommy loves me, daddy does not love me, or daddy loves me, mommy does not love me. Don't raise your children like that. Never report your children, your husband to your children, and say your children should come. You want to report their daddy. If that is the way foolish people do, the children are too young for you to put the baggage of your own emotional drunkenness on them. Don't ruin the children's life. Manage it. So the woman wants. I didn't know why God gave her children. There are so many people that would have been better parents who are trusting God to have children. But the way this woman raised her children, I had to ask her. I question the judgment of God in giving you children. It would have been better if you were sterile. You would have been crying for children, but you wouldn't have. So you wouldn't have the opportunity to ruin people's lives, because as it is, you had four children and you ruined their lives because you just indulged them, because there is no discipline. Nobody could talk to them. So the essence where your husband just abandoned you and the children, and you moved on with another woman or just sending you money. And you still kept doing it until all your four children were ruined. All of them just, till now, she's the one feeding the four children. They've gotten children from other men. All the children, the three girls got pregnant everywhere. They'll bring the babies home. She has many grandchildren at home. She's a teacher. She's a VP now. All her salary spent in that one small two-bedroom flat, the children are useless. I mean, they practically cannot do anything for themselves except have sex, get pregnant, and the only male child she has, that too, got three people pregnant, all of them, but she even told him, if they get pregnant, bring them here. I will use them to start school. That's not a mother. That's not a good mother. So train yourself to distance yourself from the emotional injury. If you see it is too much, tune it down. I'm saying this for the sake of your future. Now, again, I do not mind you having a sit down with your husband if you think sometimes in the course of his discipline of the children, it becomes excessive. You can even negotiate a deal with him. When they do something and you think they deserve flogging, tell me. I'll be the one to flog them. As the mother, you say, I will flog them. Don't touch them because you are high-handed. Let me be the one to do it. But just tell me, do it. I will do it. You can do that. So your husband will know, okay, this woman is in the same boat with me, and both of us are raising the children, and we are not going to trade off on our marital affection for raising children. Like I said, the children will grow. You left your parents' house when it was time. Children pray to leave their parents' house. A lot of teenagers, a lot of ladies in their 20s are fasting and praying now. I want to be married. I want to be married. What do you think they are saying? I want to leave my father's house. They are praying to leave the house of the person that raised them from childhood. They are praying to God every day. And as soon as they find the right man, they will carry their bag and run. That is how children behave. So you should plot the graph very well. And do not invest your emotions in something that will not endure. Your husband is the one that is going to be your lifetime companion, supposed to be your best friend. If you stay with him and your affection with him is intact, you can easily influence him on many things. You can easily tell him, this is what happened. That's what happened. Explain to him so that you'll have a better perspective and the two of you can be together. Please mark my words and note it. It is very important. If you are going to raise children that God will be proud of and that you will be proud of in future, you should not raise children in such a way that you would ruin them because you are indulging them or because you put your emotion ahead of their well-being. This is very important as a Christian that we note it. The Lord will give you wisdom, raise godly children. Your children shall be taught of the Lord, and grace shall be your peace. All the days of your life, you will enjoy the peace that comes with raising godly children. Peer pressure, the world, pressure from politicians and woke left and all those people will not ruin your children. Your children shall be the inheritance of the Lord. They shall be the Nakala of our great God. Blessed be the name of the Lord for answering our prayers. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Let somebody shout, glory.
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content.